Well, here we go, folks. Another edition of the Holistic Truth, the Weiner Wellness Center. And we've got Dr. Orbach waiting in the wings. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. But the first couple of segments, Mr. Messina is going to be talking about the 90 essential nutrients, what they are, and why they aren't, well, simply there when we need them as far as in the food that we get every day and how we can go about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here he is, the star of another edition of The Holistic Truth from the Weiner Wellness Center. He's on location there, broadcasting at Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. He's Joe Messina. Joe, I never thought that it would be 90 of them, huh?
Well, you know, that's why I wanted to bring it up today. And by the way, that was nice of you to refer to me as the star of the show. I don't know about that, but... Yeah, I'll take it, Rob. I'll take it anytime I can get it.
You should. You're good.
Well, you know, we talk about a lot of things on the show, you know, and the other day, somebody asked me who was in the industry, okay? I mean, not to the extent that I am or Jamie or Dr. O, but, you know, but in the industry, and they asked me, you know, can you tell me the difference between a water-soluble vitamin and a fat-soluble vitamin? And that question just kind of triggered something in me. And I thought, you know, sometimes I think we take a lot of this basic knowledge for granted. And we assume that because we've been talking about these things, you know, over the years, over the decades, that everybody out there listening knows the difference between a vitamin and a mineral, or a water-soluble vitamin and a fat-soluble, or a trace mineral and a whole mineral. So I thought, well, you know, maybe we should take it back to 101 here a little bit and explain some of the differences in these basic nutrients, why we're not getting them on a daily basis in our food, and how we can replenish them. So the term, the 90 essential nutrients, now when you think about that, you think, oh my God, how can that possibly be? Well, 60 of those 90 nutrients, Rob, are minerals. 60. There are 60 essential minerals. Now, most people, me included, Rob, could not name all 60 minerals off the top of my head. So let's talk a little bit about the main ones, and let's break them into two categories. I like to call them the whole mineral and the trace mineral. Now, of the 60 essentials, a lot of these are going to, you know, ring a bell for people. Okay, so calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, copper, boron. Okay, these are kind of those ones that people hear about a lot because they're involved in a lot of them in bone building. They're involved in many metabolic functions in the body, like magnesium is. And just for the record, magnesium is the single most deficient mineral in our society, the single most deficient. You know, you hear a lot about calcium, and calcium is not the issue. Magnesium is a far bigger issue than calcium deficiency. And here's the other thing about these major minerals, Rob. Minerals are basically rocks. So try to think about how can we possibly, you know, assimilate those into our body and gain the nutrients from them. Well, many times these rocks have to be attached to a carrier, like a salt, a sulfate, like a tartrate, like a citrate. Okay, these are salts. Many times they are attached to amino acids. For example, the multi-mineral we have here at the center, the Frontier Minerals from Nutritional Frontiers. These are Albion minerals, and they're attached to amino acids in the body. Now, we know that amino acids are very easily absorbed in the body. So by attaching the mineral to them, you get far better absorption of these minerals. And I've seen it doing the Oligo scan down here that does show you, tissue density of about 21 different minerals. Some of them are whole, some of them are trace. But it does show you that, and that really is eye-opening because many times the minerals that are really deficient are the ones that don't get a lot of the, you know, a lot of the front page news. Okay, it's never calcium, but magnesium, yes. But we see a lot of phosphorus deficiencies. Now, people say, well, so what? Well, no, it's important because it's one of the key minerals for bone building. And many times, people are taking calcium and magnesium, Rob, and they're still not getting what they want as far as bone strength. So this, you know, this kind of a scan shows us that, well, here's the missing link, phosphorus. Okay, and then another one I see a lot, and this one is a trace mineral, and I'll go into that in a second. But silica is one of the most deficient ones we see. And silica comes, you know, it comes in different types of foods and plant-based products and eggs and things like that. But it's so important, Rob, when it comes to the health of your nails, the health of your skin, the health of your hair. I just did a couple of scans yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I did a league of scans on a couple of twins, identical twins yesterday. And very interesting because they had a lot of similarities that would lead itself to believe, you know, that validates the fact that identical twins have very similar makeup, structure, chemical balancing. But one of the things, you know, and what we usually do, Rob, when we do these scans is we talk about things first in their life, any conditions, anything that you've been noticing that has changed, you know, and they'll bring up, oh, my hair's brittle, I'm, you know, it's falling out, or my nails, I can't keep them strong. And then we see a silica deficiency show up on the scan, and we see a phosphorus deficiency show up on the scan. So it's a valuable, valuable tool to really drill down on these deficiencies. And the other two that I see a lot of is chromium and vanadium. Now, those are trace minerals. Now, let me just break down the trace mineral thing for a second. A trace mineral is usually something, is a mineral that you need a very, very, very small amount of, Rob. I'm talking micrograms, okay? Not even a milligram. Most of the nutrients come in milligram dosages, right? Not this. No, you only need micrograms of these nutrients, these trace minerals. But two of those trace minerals are chromium and vanadium. Now, Rob, one of the top three health conditions that we see in this country, one of the top three causes of death in this country, one of the conditions that is directly related to heart disease, one of the conditions that make you high risk for viral invasion is diabetes. And the interesting thing is chromium and vanadium deficiencies are huge markers for type 2 and type 2 diabetes and even type 1, but primarily type 2 diabetes. You ask people about chromium or vanadium, most people have never heard of them. You know, they hear chromium and they think chrome. No, these are trace minerals that have a very specific job in the body, and that is to open up the cell door so that the insulin your body makes can drive the glucose into it for energy.
All right, let me jump in here because we're about a minute over when we needed to get into a break. So let's take care of this break. Lots of pertinent information. Joe's going to come back and continue, and then Dr. Orbach steps up for the final two segments. If you have any questions and you want to reach out to them, they're there right now, 412-922-WELL, 412-922-9355, or drweiner, WINER.com. Back with Joe Messina in just a moment. All right, Joe Messina is here, Dr. Orbach coming up in a few minutes from now, right after that bottom of the hour news update from CBS Radio News. Doc, before you get back to these 90 nutrients, so when did all this start to change? When did the playing field start to change? When we got away from plant-based food? I mean, when did this start to really affect our society? How many decades ago?
I'm glad you said that word, decade, Rob, because this actually began to change way back, you ready for this? 1937.
Wow.
Long time ago. In 1937, the Department of Agriculture went in front of Congress and said, we have a problem, Houston. The mineral content in the soil is extremely depleted. That was in 1937. You know what Congress did? Nothing. Yep, 0.0. So it hasn't gotten better. It's only gotten worse. Now, Rob, they've done studies and they can prove, and we have the percentages. We've seen them. You can prove that the magnesium content is 80% less than it was 50 years ago in vegetables. That the different vitamin contents, vitamin C, the content's extremely low. In fact, the average, Rob, is that you would need 10 servings of fruits and vegetables to equal one serving of 50 years ago for nutrient content. So every year, it gets a little worse. Now, does eating organic help? Sure. Does maybe it's in soil that's not as depleted? Okay, maybe it's in soil that's not as contaminated. So yes, always go organic when you can. But these 90 essential nutrients, like I said, 60 of them are minerals. And you can get a good multi-mineral like Frontier Minerals or Mineral Rich, our two biggest mineral sellers here at the center. And get the minerals you're not getting in your food, even if you're eating a really good plant-based diet. Now, of those 90, Rob, you still have 16 essential vitamins. 16. Most people know vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. Okay, and they know there's a whole bunch of B vitamins. Well, there is. There's a whole B vitamin family. But then there's also vitamin K. And there's also derivatives of the B vitamin family, biotin, choline, folic acid, inositol. These are all part of that big B vitamin family. But the bottom line is there are 16 essential vitamins. And on the Eliga scan, we can show 7 of them. We can scan for 7 vitamins, and those are vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin C, and 3 of the B vitamins, including folic acid. So it's a good start to show if you're, because, you know, Rob, let's go back to that question I started the show off with. There's a difference between water-soluble and fat-soluble vitamins. Water-soluble vitamins, which are vitamin C and all of the B vitamins, that means that if it's water-soluble, it does not accumulate in the tissues very well in the body. In fact, you usually will excrete it if you don't use it. You know, it's going to come out in the urine. Vitamin C and all of the B vitamins. But vitamin A is fat soluble. Okay, and that means it will accumulate in fat tissues. Okay, vitamin E, fat soluble. Okay, now, vitamin K as well, but let's just, you know, get the elephant out of the room here. Vitamin D. Is it fat soluble? Yes. Technically it is, but it's not technically a vitamin. It was named a vitamin years ago when they didn't know what else to call it, but it's really a hormone in the body, Rob. So this whole issue of be careful with vitamin D and don't take too much of it is really wrong, because it's not a vitamin. But the other fat-soluble vitamins, yes, you have to take those in limited amounts because they will accumulate in the body. But of those 90 essential nutrients, those 16 essential vitamins, you have vitamin A, D, E, K are all fat-soluble. All the B vitamins are water-soluble. Vitamin C is water-soluble, and you need to get them all on a regular basis. Now, when I say get them all on a regular basis, nobody's going to get 60 minerals and 16 vitamins in every meal every day. And you never were really designed to, Rob. You know, we are designed to eat different foods on different days, different foods for different seasons, different foods for different climates, for different areas that you live in. So, you know, nobody's going to get all 90 essential nutrients in their food every single day, even if the food was perfect. Which brings us right back to, what do we do about it? We supplement our diet. We eat as healthy as possible. We eat as plant-based as possible and as organic as possible when it comes to our proteins. But then you still must supplement your diet. And this takes me right back to one of my favorite sayings, and that is, man does not live by food alone anymore, Rob. We must supplement our diet. Now, out of that 90, okay, we had 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, and there are 12 essential amino acids as well. And remember, I started off talking about how sometimes we can have our minerals attached to an amino acid for better absorption. So we need these amino acids in our bodies too, and we have to get them through food or supplement, because when they say they're essential, that means your body doesn't make them. Okay, so you must get them from your food. And then rounding off the 90 are two essential fatty acids, and that's our basic EPA and DHA fatty acids that we get primarily from fish-based foods, and also from the EPA and DHA supplements, the omega-3 supplements. So those are your 90. Now, there are a lot of people, Rob, yours truly included, that thinks that there are 91 essential nutrients. And there's a lot of information coming out on that, and we'll save that for another show, because I want to just dangle that one out there a little bit. There is a 91st essential nutrient, because it's a nutrient that your body needs for a very specific system, and it's been depleted and neglected for decades, going way back to that 1937 marker where the mineral content was depleted from the soil. But I hope that gives everybody a little bit of a basis, you know, to see that you've got to supplement your diet, get a variety of minerals, get a variety of vitamins, get a variety of amino acids, and that takes a well-balanced of-the-earth diet, okay? I'm not saying it should be vegetarian, not saying it should be paleo, keto, whatever you want to call it. Actually, the one I liked the best was pagan, which is a combination of paleo and vegan. Okay, so yeah, get those vegetables, get those fruits, eat as many of them raw as possible. Make sure your proteins are clean, organic. Make sure they're not injected with hormones and antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Make sure your fish is wild caught and not farmed. And then you have a good basis. On top of that, we then supplement the diet.
All right, when we come back on the other side, Dr. Orbach's going to drop by, and Joe's going to have more on this week's topic, but I highly urge you, just call today. They're open. He's there on location. Set up an appointment. If you've never been there, what a great first step in the right direction when it comes to your holistic health. And if you have been there, you totally get it. You understand it. If you haven't been there for a while, you need to see the remodel. But more importantly, they need to see you to help continue you down that right path to holistic health. Be everything you can be naturally. That's what it's all about. That's why we bring you this show each and every week from 1 to 2 p.m., The Holistic Truth. Their phone number is 412-922-WELL, 412-922-9355. Here's that number again, 412-922-9355. And remember, the website, drwiner.com. Back with more on The Holistic Truth, Rob Pratt Saturday, KDKA, in just a couple of minutes. All right, still a lot of ground to cover before we get to the top of the hour, so I just want to remind you, drwiner, W-I-N-E-R.com, or call, make an appointment. They're there right now, 412-922-WELL, 412-922-9355. Joe, all yours.
Well, you know, I like this format we've been adopting here lately. We come in with some nutritional information and some, you know, good basic 101 health and nutrition on the first half of the hour. Second half of the hour, we bring in the man, the anchor, the rock, the guy who's going to keep you structured, make sure that that central nervous system is firing on all levels, because there's nothing more important than keeping your structure sound. And that's, of course, Dr. Gideon Orbach. He's here with me right now.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for that introduction and welcome, Joe. Yeah, this is like my favorite topic. not really a big hit at the cocktail parties, but you know, talking about the relationship between form and function, and how we have these reciprocal communications between the brain and the body, and by making adjustments to joints and getting joints to become freely mobile and stretching muscles and working on trigger points in muscles and even occasionally reinforcing the work with very targeted and specific exercises, how what we're really trying to achieve is better brain-body communication and teaching the brain to recognize new pathways and new, what are called non-canalized pathways. A canal is like a trench. We've dug it out, and we're all born with certain canalized pathways that are universal to human beings. Everybody has the potential to learn how to juggle, but not everybody will. So a person who's learned how to juggle will open up new non-canalized pathways that are specific to that person. So what we're doing, using the body, the skeleton, as a series of levers and switches to flip back and forth and to mobilize and to move and stretching out muscles, we're opening up new non-canalized pathways in our patient population to get them to inhibit their dysfunction, inhibit their pain, suppress their pain, get them to breathe deeper, getting them to be better literally on balance, better coordination, better athleticism, more heightened acuity of all of their senses. Sorry about that. A little difficulty spitting out the word sense there.
Let me ask you something. You just brought up thoughts in my mind now. So, for example, the mechanics to riding a bike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you and I both have a lot of, you know, history in the martial arts and everything, but basically I always thought there was three stages of learning. There was the mechanical, the memorization, and then the living.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you learn the mechanics.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, then you don't have to think of step one, two, and three. That becomes memorized.
Uh-huh.
And then there's no thought at some point.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that in particular, learning that kind of a motorized skill as an adult, not a child?
Well, it's certainly more difficult to learn motorized skills as an adult than a child. I mean, when you think about a child's brain, it's like just, it's a sponge. It's just picking up information. I mean, I remember your granddaughter, Talia, came in and I adjusted her stomach, and I'm literally surprised that you haven't stopped me in the hallway to tell me that she's trying to adjust her own stomach. She's trying to adjust her mother's stomach. I mean, I could tell by the look on her face that she perceived the difference for the better. Like, nobody had to say anything. She had that childlike innocence, big smile after she was adjusted. It worked. We know.
It worked. The issue went away.
Yeah, and the fact that I don't hear you telling me how she's trying to adjust everybody's stomach is literally surprising to me. I mean, that's how children learn mechanics. It's wonderful how like receptive they are and how quickly they learn and just watching their
curiosity. What do we need to do to get more kids into chiropractic?
It's a good question. I mean, it's kids don't make these decisions for themselves. We got to recruit their parents and explain to the parents what's the benefit for your child, both in the short term and the long term, and how is this going to help with future health and well-being, and what kind of advantages we can give these people both physically and neurologically by being a chiropractic patient. But I mean, forget how illegal this would be. Let's just talk practically. We're not going to the schoolyard to recruit a whole bunch of 8-year-olds. We want to communicate through their parents.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked in the past. My mentor, Ken Erickson, who practices in Jamestown, New York, fantastic, fantastic chiropractic neurologist. In fact, he has a PhD from a university in Europe in systemic thought. His mentor, Ted Carrick, who I know we've mentioned and talked about on the both on the live presentations and on the radio and in private conversation, who we can be thought of as the godfather of the neurology and chiropractic paradigm, as we think of you as the godfather of nutrition. Dr. Carrick did a PhD thesis in which he measured anatomical blind spots and physiological blind spots.
Well, explain the difference.
Okay. So there's a spot in the eye where the optic nerve penetrates into the eyeball, and we have no rods and cones in that spot in the eyeball. So therefore, rods and cones are light receptors. I mean, I talk about the receptors that I'm interested in are the pressure-sensitive joint mechanoreceptors, and I talk about that ad nauseum in my workshops during the wellness week.
Right.
But we have these receptors throughout the whole body, and if you're taking a nutrient, for example, if you're taking iodine, you want it to bind to the iodine receptors in the thyroid amongst every other cell in the
right.
body. If you're taking vitamin D or maybe zinc, you want them to bind to certain receptors in the lungs to improve immune system function and block those receptors from other viruses or entities attaching.
Right.
So receptors receive and transmit information. So we have these light receptors called rods and cones that live in the eye. And you look around you, we see what we really have is all this light energy that moves in waves. The rods and cones, the light receptors, pick up the light energy, transmit that information to the brain, and the brain paints a picture as to what's going on in the world that we're going to see. So third grade math, you can only occupy space with one thing at a time. Just as we want the zinc to bind to receptors in our lungs that prevent other entities from binding to those same receptors,
right.
just as we want the iodine to bind to receptors in the thyroid to prevent other halide salts from binding there,
uh-huh.
we have a nerve, the optic nerve, that penetrates into the eyeball. Only one thing can exist in one place at a time, so we have no receptors there, and that's called the anatomical blind spot.
Okay.
So your brain is going to fill in the gaps and paint a picture of what it expects to be in a place where we literally can't see, usually out to our peripheral vision.
Okay.
Now, when we start to have inflammation or we start to have a brain that's understimulated, the brain is not getting enough environmental information to augment the senses, the senses are not as acute as we want them to be, now that blind spot becomes bigger, and that's called our physiological blind spot. So these blind spots can be mapped by having the patient stare at a dot straight ahead, cover one eye, and we're going to move an object out to the side until it disappears, and then we're going to see that moving object at a certain point will reappear, and we're going to measure out literally physically how big is this blind spot. And then what Dr. Carrick did was he adjusted all of his subjects, which in essence stimulated the brain and made, as the brain stimulates, all senses become beneficiaries of this new stimulation. That's how we can make the statement that chiropractic adjustments improve the immune system. It's not that there's a specific magical spot in the spine that I'm going to adjust you at this level and all of a sudden your immune system is going to become charged back up. It's more the case that I'm going to adjust you at this level, that level, and the other, and the brain is going to be brought above a certain firing threshold. Now all the senses become a little bit more acute or stimulated or receive better neurological communication. And we can do this next patient. They don't have problems at this level, that level, and the other level. Their problems are elsewhere. So they're going to get the same benefit by an entirely different group of adjustments. And that's why I think it's so important not to have a stock protocol, but just to analyze your patients and figure out what are they going to benefit from right now at this moment in time. You point to a spot that specifically hurts. That doesn't mean I'm going to adjust you here at the specific spot that hurts now. It means let's just stop and make an assessment. So be that as it may, we're talking about these rods and cones and these blind spots. And what Dr. Carrick did was he adjusted all the patients at the same vertebral spot just so that he would have consistency and eliminate certain variables from the study that would disqualify him. And without exception, the blind spot shrank.
All right, listen, I got to jump in here. Gentlemen, great stuff. Come back another full segment. But if you want to make an appointment with Dr. Orbach or you just want to go and see what they can offer you, it's simple. 412-922-WELL, 412-922-9355, Dr. Weiner, WINER.com. We'll be back. Joe Messina, Dr. Gideon Orbach, Rob Pratt Saturday, The Holistic Truth, KDKA. Just enough time for me to remind you, as I will before we say goodbye for another week of The Holistic Truth, 412-922-WELL, 412-922-WELL, 412-922-9355 or drweiner.com. And Joe, why I love Dr. Orbach, what were we talking about last segment before we got him on the air? We mentioned during the break, what I love about what you all do, you do the holistic aspect, but you never lose sight of how important the holistic health of chiropractic care is. And that's why I think the Weiner Wellness Center is second to none, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea. It was built upon that concept, and it is the foundation. And I think that everything in here complements each other because, you know, no one does, as Doc explained, the way he approaches his patients, there's no cookie cutter involved here. It's not get on the table, let's adjust top to bottom and see you next week. It's let's find out what's going on, let's evaluate, let's investigate, and make and gear it towards you. And I think with everything we do here, yeah, it's like that. That's why the Eliga scan has been such a great addition. That's why, you know, the laser technology has been great. And Jeff with his allergy reversal, and now we have Ashley Rossi too, with her doing her full body evaluations and weight loss programs specifically for women. But, you know, that's the whole idea. It's not cookie cutter. It's designed, everybody's different, and everybody needs to be treated just a little bit different with the basics still in place, right, Doc?
Absolutely. Can't lose sight of the basics.
So, you know, why don't you finish up on that concept you were explaining? Because I think you don't hear chiropractors talking about, you know, that much when it comes to line of sight or, you know, blind spot and neurological advantage. Gee, I mean, that's, to me, a whole different animal.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. I told you, this is my topic. I don't fit in good at the cocktail party, but at the wellness center, it goes over well. So we were talking about the difference between the anatomical and the physiological blind spot, and Dr. Carrick, who got his PhD in neuroscience by demonstrating how the stimulus of a chiropractic adjustment affects the brain to the extent that we reduce the size, maybe even eliminate the physiological blind spot relative to the anatomical blind spot. And then if we can extrapolate a little bit further and we find that children in specific, I mean, we were talking about how do you bring more kids into the clinic, into the practice, into chiropractic in general. What if we extrapolate a little bit further and we map somebody's blind spots every few weeks, every few months, whatever, and we notice a specific pattern going on that, look, here's where your blind spot is, here's where it grows to, let's figure out a way to position you in a classroom where we can maximize your ability to learn and to pay attention and to have your brain fully engaged in what you're doing.
Wow, that's a concept I'm sure is not explored at all.
Well, actually, it was explored in Dr. Carrick's PhD thesis. I don't make this stuff up.
But in classrooms.
Yeah. Oh, no, in classrooms. Never heard of this being done. Never. I mean, this is work that was done in the middle-late 1990s. And as far as anybody I know, it hasn't been reproduced. It hasn't been built upon. It hasn't been explored further. I mean, it's been cutting edge stuff just sitting there for 25 years waiting for somebody to run with it or waiting for somebody to adopt the model, and it just never happened. But then if you look at the social aspect, if you look at, was it Louis the 13th or Louis the 14th who was the big dictator in France?
Both of them, actually. Yeah.
so they would have the king would sit in the center of the court. And flanked to his right and left, he'd have nobility, and the higher-ranking nobles would stand closer to the king. And as you got way out into the periphery, there are the lesser-known nobles.
Yeah.
And every so often, the king would want to have somebody executed, and that would be that. They would, off to the guillotine you go. And it was always the person standing in the same spot. So one can further extrapolate that maybe the noble person who was standing in the king's blind spot, like, I can't see you, where are you? All right, we're done with you.
Yeah.
So this has relevance. This has good meaning and relevance, and these are things that...
I mean, you could take it into sports, into life. About driving a car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how the peripheral vision is so important, and that's one of the things that starts to go first, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That we can talk about your peripheral vision deteriorating over time, and then we can ask the question, is it really the peripheral vision deteriorating, or is it the physiological blind spot growing because the brain is being understimulated or not getting the kind of stimulation that it needs in order to reduce the physiological blind spot?
Rob, how's your stimulation been lately?
It's all good in the neighborhood. Because I have you guys down over the hill from where I'm at here at the radio station. Everything is A-okay, boys.
Well, you're always getting stimulated one way or another.
Yeah.
Are we the last show of the day on Saturday?
The very last show for me, anyway.
Yeah. With you. Yeah, with you. It's your last show.
Yes.
Okay, good. We like that. We like to be the closing act, right, Doc?
Right.
Well, listen, because when the curtain comes down, star power, just abundance from your wonderful location to my neighborhood, and we both get a well-deserved rest. So we have given it our all, and we have a couple more minutes left, and I know you guys are going to have a strong finish, and that's what stimulates me. So go right ahead.
Well, it's all about, you know, I don't know how many times we can say this, back to basics.
Yep, exactly.
You know, when it comes to nutrition, you got to go back to basics. You need the 90 essential nutrients. When it comes to your structure, to your nervous system, to your neurological health, where we started this whole thing off, you know, that's basics. But unfortunately, these basics are being neglected.
That's right.
They're being neglected one way or another. So we're appreciative of the fact that we get to come on here once a week with you, Rob. And, you know, if we can touch a couple of people every week. And you know what, Rob? We get calls every Saturday after the show. We really do. And we appreciate that. And, you know, the more we can get out there, the better. And we'll just continue to keep bringing Doc on. We'll keep bringing, you know, we'll bring Dr. Rossi on. We'll bring the rest of the crew on to make sure everybody understands the differences and the concepts and the impact that every professional here can have on their life.
Well, listen, we are just about out of time, and I can't thank you two enough. And this goes back, you know, for years, just every single week and hearing all of this information about how people can stay healthy the holistic way. And when you, you know, mix in all of the supplements and obviously nutrition and these nutrients, these 90 nutrients that you just scratched the surface on today, and then, of course, the piece de resistance, that great chiropractic care, we're going to keep people upright, happy, and healthy for generations to come. And what I love about what you all do, many of those wonderful patients, like I was at the age of 15, my mother introduced me to chiropractic care, and it changed my life forever. And we know that there are parents doing that with their children after coming to the Weiner Wellness Center. And to me, that's not just a good thing. That's a great thing. Joe, you're the best. Thank you. Dr. O, always the best. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Rob. Thank you.
We'll see you next week, man.